lesson from the letter of St. Paul the Apostle to the Colossians. Brethren, and so from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit of every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience of joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, so when you see the desolating sacrilege spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house, and let him who is in the field not turn back to take his mantle. And alas for those who are with child, and for those who give suck in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen from the beginning of the world until now, and never will be. And if those days had not been shortened, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then if any one of you says to you, lo, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Lo, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, lo, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, lo, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the moon will not give its light, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and there will appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The saving words of the gospel. Well, today we celebrate the 24th and last Sunday of the season after Pentecost, which means we have come to the last liturgical week of the year. Next Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, we begin a new liturgical year. And the end of our year thematically dovetails perfectly with the beginning of Advent and then the whole season of Advent, because just as you hear about the coming of the Son of Man and the prophecy of the end of time and the coming of the Son of Man, like lightning from one side, the east to the west, so to Advent really is more about the second coming of the Lord than it is about the first. Of course, it's also about the first, our celebration of the first coming of the Lord into the light of the world at Nativity. But really the themes that we explore liturgically in the church have to do with the four last things and the end times. The Adventus, the Advent, the Visitatio, which in Latin means the coming of the Mighty One, the Judge or Governor who's going to make a reckoning with you. And so we have this reading this long reading today from the Gospel according to Matthew. And the Lord starts by talking about the Dowie translates it as the abomination of desolation. The Revised Standard Version calls it the desolating sacrilege, spoken of by the prophet Daniel. And then if we were to go back to Daniel, and he says, let those who read understand. If we go back to Daniel, he talks about the prophecy in terms of days and weeks and so forth. And those clever boots who are scripture scholars have figured out about the time that he's talking about just, you know, figured those dates out. And the Lord himself gives an indication about the dates here. This generation will not pass until all these things take place. Well, what's going on here? The Lord is absolutely, he's talking about the end of the world. But the generation passed, and the end of the world didn't take place. So how do we reconcile this? Well, first of all, we seem to have two different things intertangled here that the Lord is prophesying about. Remember that the Lord himself is also a prophet. So he speaks like a prophet, like an Old Testament prophet, with about signs in the heavens and, you know, great things that are to happen. And he does so with an enigmatic kind of a language. It's very difficult to untangle. But we seem to have two different ends of the world here. Now, one of them has to do with the coming of the Son of Man, and like lightning from the east to the west and so forth. And the angels will be called together, and the trumpets will blow, and he will gather the elect and all that. Well, that's going to be an inexorable sort of thing that we can't really do anything about except be ready for. On the other hand, he's talking about another end of the world right after he talks about the abomination of desolation. And he says, let those who are in Judea flee into the mountains. Well, the coming of the Son of Man at the end of the world is for the whole world. But here this is directed right at Judea. And he's also saying that at the very end of this pericope, this cutting of scripture, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Well, how long is a generation? A biblical generation is about 40 years. So 40 years after the time he's talking, something's going to happen in Judea. And when that happens, he says, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are on the housetop not go to take what's in his house. Don't turn back. Don't even try to grab your mantle. Get out of Dodge now, because something really bad is going to happen. It's going to be so bad. Pray that it not be in winter. Pray that it not be on the Sabbath. Well, you know, if the coming of the Son of Man at the end of the world, it isn't going to make a difference if it's winter. It isn't going to make a difference if you have something in your house or not to take. And it's not going to make any difference if you flee to the mountains. The coming at the end of the world, none of those things make a difference. But there is another kind of an end of the world that's coming, and that will make a difference if they flee to the mountains. And that's the coming of the Romans to Jerusalem. 40 years after the Lord is talking, puts it at 70 AD, and that's indeed when the Romans came to destroy Jerusalem. And they destroyed the temple so there were not one stone was upon another. And this is significant because the temple itself was a microcosm of the entire universe. How so? Well, the outer courts and so forth were decorated with beautiful carvings of trees and so forth, so it would represent the land and all that fills it. And then there was a mighty gateway that had a curtain that was covered with stars, like the constellations. And there was even an enormous candle stand that the lights on burning and represented the planets. And there was a huge outside there, there was a huge outside of the inner court, there was an enormous bronze water basin, which they literally called the ocean, and that was used for ritual purifications. And so we had the land and the ocean and the heavens. So the whole, and then within there is the Holy of Holies, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant had been. and that's where also the presence of God, the Shekinah, that would descend like a cloud upon the ark, and the presence of God rested there in that place where the ark was, which means that it was like the center of the entire universe. And indeed it was. That's where the presence of God was dwelling. And so the destruction of the temple is literally the destruction not only of the world of the Jews and the sacrifice, the ongoing sacrifice, day in and day out, day in and day out, every morning, every evening, with special days and feasts, through year in and year out, year in and year out, the propitiatory sacrifice that God commanded them to offer was ended in that moment. And from that point on, there was no more temple sacrifice, because that's the only place where it could take place. So it's not only the end of the world, like their identity is just shattered, but it's the end of the world in another way, in that the temple itself is a microcosm of the entire cosmos. And this is what the Romans came to destroy. And indeed, at that time, they set up a kind of a pagan idols. Now, some people think that maybe Antiochus earlier was the one who set up the desolation of the abomination of desolation. But it's probably the Romans coming to the temple and setting things up there. But, you know, these things, they also speak to our times. He's speaking forward, too. That people say, look, there's the Christ. There he is. Don't believe it. False Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders. Don't be led astray. So he's not only talking to that generation right there. He's also talking to future generations. That we have to be constantly aware, ready for the return of the Lord, but constantly aware that there are going to be lies. There are going to be liars, even among the elect. There are going to be not only liars, there are going to be evil, wicked people, even among the elect. And there are going to be people who are duped and fooled by what they are told, even among the elect. And there will be people who even, shall we say, echo the abomination of desolation by placing things where they shouldn't be. I don't think we'll ever really recover from the sight of that ritual bowl dedicated to Pachamama being placed on the altar of St. Peter's Basilica over the bones of the Prince of the Apostles, over the bones of the first Vicar of Christ. I'm not sure that'll ever hear an explanation of that that fully deals with the evil implicit in the imagery of that bull sitting on that altar. And immediately there leaps to mind the abomination of desolation. And we look around the world too now and see so many things happening. First of all, we see the great falling away of so many people from the faith. And we see now we're living in a world where technology has made it possible for the gospel to have been preached to every corner of the earth. It may be that there are places where no one has ever heard anything about Christianity, but I'm guessing that somewhere along the line, even those people have at least heard of it. We're getting to a point now where it's inescapable. Now we have many of the various elements from that we've learned from Scripture, from all of the New Testament and the Old, that seem to indicate that we're moving into the end times. And the Lord Himself says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as the branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you look at the tree, and you go, okay, well, this is the season now is about to enter. The season is changing. When you see all these things, know that it is near at the very gates. Well, you could say that for the people who knew that the Romans were coming, but also to all of us who know that one day the Son of Man is going to come. And we have to be ready for it. We have to be ready for it. I think we have to be ready for it both spiritually and also materially. In our readings for Mass lately, we've had various indications from the Lord himself about how we shouldn't be overly attached to material things. Even in fleeing from the Romans, he says, don't even go downstairs to get your coat. Just leave now. The Lord, told Zacchaeus, sell, what you have, give to the poor. This is, we have to be, we one of the ways we spiritually prepare is by taking careful stock of the way that we treat material things and allow them to either dominate us or we use them well for good purposes, such as corporal works of mercy and so forth. Let us always keep in mind, in examining our conscience, how we're treating material things, and be spiritually ready for the coming of the Lord, whatever that might be. Credo in unum Deum, Patrem omnipotentem, Pater Celi et Terrae, visibilium omnibus et invisibilium, et in unum Dominum Iesum Christum, in Dei unigenitum, et ex Padre natum ante omnia saecula, Deum de Deo lumine luminae, Deum vero de Deo vero, genitum non factum, quod substantiam in Patri per per omnia facta sum, qui propria nos homines et propria nostrum salutem, descendit de Celis, et incarnatus est de Spiritu Sancto ex Maria Virgine, et homo factus est, crucifixus est, iam pro nobis, sub Pontio Pilato passus et sepultus est. Et resurrexit tertiae die secundum scripturas. Et ascendit in caelum, sedet ad dexter Patris. Et iterum venturus est cum gloria judicare vivos et mortuos, cuius regni non erit finis. Et in spiritum sanctum dominum et vivificantem, quis patre filioque procedit, qui cum patre et filio simul erat ut cum glorificatur, qui locutus est per prometas. Et unam sanctam catholicam et apostolicam ecclesiam, quod fitior unum baptisma, in remissione peccatorum, et expecto resurrectionem mortuorum, vitam venturi saeculi. Amen. Dominus obisum. Oremus. De profundis clamavi a te, Domine. Domine, exaudi orationem mea. De profundis clamavi a te, Domine.